last things I shall see. The one who died for me paid that sin debt that I could never pay. My Lord is coming.
And when we gather there with our Lord in the air, I'll be like him,
free from this sinful flesh, complete in his righteousness, I'll be like him. My Lord is coming. My Lord is coming. He's coming.
Come unto me, all ye who are weary, tired, and worn. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. A comfort from your pain and a shelter from the storm. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. His tender voice is calling me to a place that flesh can find. My eyes can see the way to go. He beckons me to believe and leave my worries far behind, to trust the hand that guides his children home. Come unto me, all ye who are weary, tired, and worn. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest.
I'm gonna try really, really hard.
A comfort from your pain.
Thank you.
Good morning. Ouch. Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for sending your son, born of a virgin, and then be crucified. And thank you for taking away our sins, Lord. And we thank you for the season, and we thank you for the our families and friends. We ask that you be with the services, and Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 423. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive. Sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven, nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to blessings known, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, that makes a nation's proud. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to 429. 429. Hark the herald angels sing.
Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Lay in time, behold him come, offering of the serpent's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead seen, hail incarnate deity. Then to dwell Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the new.
on the last.
Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Rise, thou woman's conquering scene, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now imprints, step thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstated thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, Miss Wendy. All right. The announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, they're in the back. Today is Christmas Sunday. Regular services, 10, 11, and 6 p.m. Wednesday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, candlelight service, 6 o'clock to 7:15 p.m. Thursday is Christmas, so hope everybody will have a good day there. Sunday, December 28th, Brother McCurry will be here during the evening service, and BTI printing over 3 million tracks the last year, so praise the Lord for that. Wednesday, December 23rd, the New Year's Eve watch service is from 8 to 12:01, and please remember the prayer requests on the back. Thank you. All yours, brother.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the adult Sunday school class on this Christmas Sunday. And so we're going to be getting, just to let you know, I was not able to get the Christmas cards out this year. But I do have the Trail of Blood that I promised you. So Kevin's going to pass those out. I got enough, look like, for everybody in here. But you have those, and since I got them all, and I did write in inside Merry Christmas from Brother Moyer and Connie, as he's handing those out, in that Trail of Blood is kind of what we went over in Baptist history. It's got all that those things in there that Brother Rocky taught us while he was here, and quite a bit of stuff. And there's also on page 70 is an important page, because that tells you the fundamental beliefs of a fundamental Bible Baptist church practices today. So those are the things that we can look at believe. So anyway, that's a very important little book. It's not the easiest reading, folks, but you know, it's there are some things, and there's it also gives you some other books you can go to find this thing, the things out that he's talking about. A lot of this stuff is history that's quite a ways back, and it's not all easy to find. So anyway, I know when I was going through Baptist history that we did some research and different things like that, and it was difficult to find a lot of things. But anyway, he's got some of it in there and everything, so everybody be able to see that and kind of know where we came from. And there was a real cost. The book's called Trail of Blood. So it's a cost. It was a cost to people. Many years ago, we live in a country, I think we forget about it, because we live in a country that has freedom. We have a freedom that we take for granted a lot of times, our freedom of religion here. And even if you want to read something in American history, there's some great things in the The title of the book just slipped my mind. But anyway, got a lot of stuff in the early days in America. It was not as it is today. Until freedom of religion came along, the Church of England controlled a lot of things, and a lot of problems, a lot of persecution went on during those times. But today we live in America that has freedom to. Has freedom to worship as we see. So we can go by the things that Baptists believe. Anyway, this morning we are going to be in the second chapter of the book of Luke as we're looking at the birth of Christ. We get my notes out here so I kind of follow what I'm doing. Anyway, we see in chapter 1, we started out there with the taxation at Bethlehem. They had to go to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the tribe and the lineage of David. And so Mary and Joseph head that way. And then we find out first 8 verses, there we find out 5 verses or so. We find out it tells us that they went there for the taxing, and Mary. Verse 6 is what I was looking for. And so it was in that day that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. So and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so that was kind of the events here that was happening, and then. Last week we talked about the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they came with a message. They told them first. Of course, they always angels' first greeting is always "Fear not." I find that sometimes amazing, but that's the first thing the angels usually say: "Fear not," because this is something beyond what people see or see happen. And then it says, "Fear not, tidings of great joy." I got my notes, and my notes are a little bit different from what I'm thinking here. So anyway, before we go on any further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Maybe I can start out right, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for all the things you've done for us. We're thankful that we can celebrate the birth of Christ, and Lord, we should. And Father, we're so thankful for what you did for us. Lord, you came to this earth. You took upon yourself the form of flesh and became obedient even unto death. And Father, I pray that you just be with us in a special way, that, Lord, you might be honored and glorified here this morning. We ask, Lord, that as we look into this story, the message that you've given us in your word, how Luke was able to give us details. And Lord, we're so thankful that he was a man of details. And Father, I just pray that you would have your will and way in our lesson here this morning, that it might honor and glorify your holy name. We thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray that you be with the services today. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, so the angels came with a greeting here. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and to see the things which come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they were made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the angels, or by the shepherds, excuse me, by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And so that's the angels and the shepherds and what they seen and everything, and they were told. And I think we looked last week at that at the message that the angels had brought, that a Savior was being born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And who was Christ the Lord? He's the Messiah. He has come. And then there was suddenly with them an angel, a multitude of angels, and a heavenly host. Now, I don't know. I believe that probably when it says multitude of angels, more angels appeared, and then the heavenly host. I believe that it might have been some of those Old Testament prophets and people that had believed in God and did so, but it was a heavenly host. A lot of people were seen there. And then when they then what they said, and they said and they were in heaven, they were praising God and saying, they had something to say, they had a message to give out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Last week I talked a lot about the peace of God that we have because of this, because of the Savior came into the world. We have peace with God because of what Jesus did for us. He brought us the peace of God. And then we have the peace of God when we accept Christ as our Savior, and we know that He's our Savior. And then we have the peace with God in our lives, and that the things that happen, no matter what the circumstances and situation can be, we can have the peace of God. And that's very important that we realize that he's the one that brought peace in the world. Why? Because it tells us in the book of Isaiah that he's the Prince of Peace. And many times we looked at several things last week, and I don't have them on my notes today. But anyway, so we see that they were given a message, and this moved the shepherds enough, and it was glorifying enough that they made a decision. Hey, we're going to find this Christ child. Let's go see if this really happened. They knew where to go. They told them the city of David. That was Bethlehem. So they went down and went to Bethlehem, and there searched out and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And so all this was done at this time, and we noticed that it affected the shepherds. And knowing that what the angels said was true. That's one thing we needed to do as we look into God's word. Remember, it's true. It's true. And it's truth. The Bible is the word of God, and God cannot lie. And so he tells us these things, these men went and found it out. I believe that's exactly what we need to do as we do our Bible studies. We need to look into God's word, find out what it's about, and then search out the truth. Know that these things are true. There's so many things in our lives that we can go through that God brings into our lives that we can look and see, is this true? It is true. We can find out. God's word does not lie to us. And so they found out there was a babe in the manger, and there was Mary and Joseph, and so they went abroad. That's what I was trying to think of. And they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child, and that he was the Prince of Peace, that he was the Savior that came into the world. So they were out proclaiming. Here are these shepherds. These are not high class fancy guys. They're not the Pharisees and the scribes and people that were in the temple or anything like that. They were shepherds, lowly shepherds, that were proclaiming the truth that Jesus Christ had been born, the Lord had been born. And verse 18 says, and they went abroad, and they that heard it, the people that heard the word of God here, they said, and those things which are told them, in verse 18, and all that heard it wondered at those things which were told unto them by the shepherds. Now I wonder, as they wondered on these things, you know, a lot of times people hear a lot of things and we wonder, is that right? Is that true? And different things like that. These people here were wondering about those things. I don't know if it doesn't tell us in the Word of God whether people searched them out and seen whether the shepherds were telling them the truth. I know the shepherds searched out what the angels had told them, and they found the babe and Joseph and Mary, just as they were told they would find them. But I don't know. A lot of people wonder about things. You know, when we're wondering about things, it's something that I do. I don't know whether you do or not, but I wonder a lot. But sometimes I don't know where I'm going. I'm just wondering. But anyway... But when we wonder about something, we want to search it out. We want to know what it is. And so I don't know how many people did. But in verse 19 said this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary had a lot of things to ponder. Verse 19, it says there, but Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all these things. When it talks about all these things, what things do you think that she thought about? What was she pondering about? Well, number one, an angel appeared to her. We read that in chapter 1, that the angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to bring forth a son. She knows that, she became pregnant and she was carrying a child at this time. But then not only that, as she heard what the shepherds had said about the angel, you know, when the shepherd, the other thing I don't know whether you wonder about, but sometimes I do, when the angels appeared, that glorious host, how many people saw that? I mean, you don't really see anywhere else. I think the angels, God had given the angels a vision of this heavenly host, and all of this happened, and I don't know how many people saw it. I mean, if it's something in heaven would come down, you would think that everybody would see it. I don't know. I think one of these days the clouds are going to open and the rapture is going to take place, and not everybody's going to see the Lord in the air. But the Bible tells us we will. We'll see him come, and we'll be raptured up to be with him. And so, but anyway, that's just one of the wonders. So Mary was pondering these things in her heart. She thought about when she heard the angel, and then she went to see Elizabeth. She went and seen Elizabeth there in chapter 1. And when she came in, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us there, and she was talking to Mary. She said here in chapter 1, verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, the verse before that says she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and saying, blessed art thou, woman, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And hence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. And so she, as soon as thy voice was heard, salutation was sounded in my ears, that the baby leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, and there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so Elizabeth here is telling Mary how much she knew. The Holy Spirit inspired her to say that. And we look in the next few verses and we see Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in the God of my salvation." She's looking to him. She knew that the babe in her was her salvation. She knew that he was the king. Talked about this last week. My Savior is a very remarkable way that the mother referred to her son, that she knew him as the Savior, that she knew that he was different. And so we see that, and she's praising God here. So these are things that Mary had pondered in her mind. And when it says here that she pondered these things, other people might wonder about it, but she pondered them. She thought on them. She made it, it as something weighty. The word ponder means a weight. And she thought it, it was weighted. And she kept them to herself, and she resolved to find out what was going on. And she had this weight into her mind, and was given the circumstances and all the things that's happening. She was trying to put it all together in her mind, like we do a lot of times. We try to put things together and see how things are going to come out. And she's pondering these things. What does this mean? And Proverbs chapter 4, let's see if I can turn over there, Proverbs chapter 4. God talks a lot about pondering, important it is. Matter of fact, I was thinking as of writing this down that the whole book of Proverbs talks a lot about pondering. Think on these things. My son, keep my words. Ponder on these things. He tells him to think about these things in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. The Lord here says, he said, "Ponder the paths of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." That means we need to think about what we do, where our feet are going, what we're going to do. We need to ponder on these things. I think there's another verse in Proverbs here, 21, just a few more pages over. So like I say, in the book of Proverbs, I find a lot of pondering. Think about the things that's what the Solomon's writing to Rehoboam and telling him here. He needs to think about these things. And verse 2, 21:2 says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." So God's thinking about our hearts. He knows our hearts. I am so glad sometimes that God knows my heart. Because sometimes I think that others might not know what I'm thinking about, but God does. God knows where my heart is. Sometimes I don't even know where my heart is, because the Bible tells us our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then the next verse in Jeremiah says there, "The Lord looketh upon the heart." He's the one. So he ponders our hearts. He knows about us. He knows the weighty things that we have. And so this is the situation and where Mary was. She was pondering these things. And by the time this chapter is over, she's going to have a lot of things to ponder. I'll tell you, we go into the next part of this next verse, and now the Lord is going to be presented. Lord Jesus is going to be presented to the Heavenly Father as they go into the, verse 21 says, "And when the 8 days were accomplished, that for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord." And then verse 23 says, "And as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And so they were making this ceremonial thing that they always did, the circumcision of the child. And Mary had to be through her purification, But you find all those things in the book of Leviticus. And chapter 12, I think it is. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 through 6, gives us all those things. Now, the interesting thing about this is we can learn something from this verse in that we've learned that Mary and Joseph were not rich. They didn't bring a lamb. They were poor people. So that tells me that the wise men hadn't come. Because when the wise men came, they gave them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They would have been able to do a little bit more at this time. So it's something that's there in the scriptures that tells us. But so they had a pair of verse 24 says, get all these T's going here, I'm in trouble. To offer the sacrifice according to which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So they did. I don't know which one variety they brought, the turtle doves or the pigeons. But anyway, that's what they offered. This is the offering of people that did not have, they were poor and weren't able to offer a lamb, which is interesting. Jesus Christ is the lamb. It's going to be offered one of these days. And so they didn't need a lamb. They were bringing the lamb. So anyway, before the Lord. Anyway, so they offered their sacrifices. And it says, and then the next part of this time in the temple, which is an amazing time. As I've said, now Mary is given more things to ponder. What's all this mean? And she's going to get some more things. Here comes a man in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was with him. When it talks about the consolation of Israel, he's talking about the Messiah. We go back in the book of Isaiah, and you'll find out he talks about the consolation. Jeremiah talks about the consolation. I think it's Zechariah talks about the consolation of Israel. They're talking about the Messiah coming. And so this man is looking for the Messiah. And it says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Here we have the miraculous thing that happened in the Old Testament, that the Holy Ghost came upon people different than he does today. The Holy Ghost lives within us today. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time. When we need him, he's there and to give us guidance and direction and those things. Here, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And so we see in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And in 27 says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He saw the Prince of Peace. He said, let me depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. For all people. He says, he's telling, just not for himself being able to have the peace of being able to go to die and to go to heaven and these things. He says, this is for all people. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. It's amazing a lot of times that when we look into the Word of God, he's always mentioning the Gentiles, that they're going to have light too. in these days, and when time the Lord's living, the Jews thought they were the only ones that were going to make it. You had to be a Jew to recognize God and all these things. But there's coming a day, and when the Lord came and began his teachings, we'll find out, he says that, he talks about the Gentiles a lot of times. And I think in John's Gospel, let me turn there real quick. John's Gospel, chapter 4. He goes to a woman at a well. And the reason I think of this a lot of times is because she worshiped in a different place than Jesus did. And when Jesus had confronted her with her sins, and she began to see that there was a difference, she says, I'll go to what the Lord said. In verse 13, chapter 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said, Whosoever drinketh of this cup shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And of course, the woman asked she wanted that drink, and then the Lord told her to go bring her husband. And that's when she realized her sin in this part. And verse 21, let's go back up. In verse 19, the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She knew that there was something different about him. And he said, "Our fathers worshipped in the mountains, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship." And Jesus told her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is come when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship knoweth not what you worship." He said, "For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father speaketh, seeth such as worship him. God is spirit, and he that worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth." He's opening up to the Gentiles also, that they that as long as you're worshiping in truth and in the spirit, so anyway, here Simeon is saying, is confessing here a light to lighten the Gentiles, to give us light. I'm so glad that we have light today. Believe it or not, we're Gentiles. How many Jews we have in here? Oh, no Jews. Okay, I didn't think so. We're Gentiles. So we have to, I look for Gentiles all the time in the Word of God, because that's where I live, you know. So and I'm so glad that the Lord, he opened it up for the Gentiles here. And and it says in verse 33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled, Jesus' mother, Joseph and Mary, we could say, marveled at those things which were spoken of him." And so we see Mary has some more things she's marveling about, more things that's been put in her mind, and she's got to ponder. And we'll find out when he's not finished yet with talking to him. And so in verse 34, "Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary," he turned to her particularly, and talking to her, he says, "Behold, this child is sent for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. The sword shall pierce through thine own soul." In other words, Mary, you're gonna feel it. You're gonna feel that. You know, mothers have that feeling of their kids, and they know the situations and some things. And she's gonna see a lot of things as Jesus grows up, and he's given her heads up that she's gonna see these things, that through many hearts may be revealed. And so he's telling her that there's some things that's going to come up with Jesus. She's going to be there at the cross and see her son die and these things. But not only that, in the temple that day, there was another woman that was there, Simeon, and then there was a woman by the name of Anna. It says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phinehas of the tribe of Asher. And when I first looked at that, I read right over it. Oh, I don't know what that, she's of another tribe or whatever. But what he's doing here, or what God is doing and showing Israel, is that here we have a man named Simeon. He was from Judah, the tribe of Judah. Asher is a tribe of Israel. You know, the split, the two separate tribes. Now he's showing them here in the scriptures here that they, he's talking about all of the Jews, the ones that were in Judah and the ones that were in the tribe of Israel. And because he said Asher was of that tribe. And she said, and the Bible says here in verse 36, she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She, verse 37, and she was a widow about 84 years. I calculate that out to be 84. She's been a widow for 84, and she was married for 7 years. So you add 7 onto that 84, and we're up to 90-something. Whatever it is, I didn't calculate real quick. But anyway, and she didn't get married at that time. And so she was at least 16 or more older than years than that. And so she's in almost over 100 years old. This is a very aged lady that's here. And she's been at the temple. And it says, served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she, coming in the instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for a redeemer in Israel. In other words, she recognized him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the redeemer. The Holy Spirit gave her the wisdom and told her of these things, and so she was able to go out and to tell other people as they came into the temple, the Messiah has been born. I know God has showed me that the Messiah is born. Now, it doesn't matter what tribe they came from, whether it was the tribes of Judah or the divided kingdom at that time, the tribes of Israel, they all had the Messiah had come. They could recognize the Messiah had come. And so she was, my Bible's got a note in here, probably where I got this. It says, Simeon of Jerusalem is of the south kingdom, and Anna of the tribe of Asher for the North Kingdom, representing together all the Jewish people, both from Judah and Israel, noted that the shepherds, Simeon and Anna, all worshipped and adored the child, but did not worship Mary. Did you notice that? They never said anything about Mary. Matter of fact, Simeon was telling Mary she's going to have to prepare herself, because she's going to have a lot of things that are going to come up in her life. And I believe that's why we see that Mary is pondering all these things. Never once in the scripture it said that Joseph did. Joseph was was not the father of the Lord. He knew that he was miraculously born and all these things. But one of the points I think the author in my notes here is trying to tell us that people did not worship Mary when Jesus was born. They were looking at the Messiah. And so Mary was not a God-like person. She, I mean, in other churches, I know in the Roman Catholic Church, Mary was almost on the line of God. Matter of fact, I read a book one time, a Catholic book, that had a title, Mary, the Mother of God. Well, God didn't need a mother. He has always been, But she was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. The Bible tells us, you know, in the book of John, I think another part of my notes there at the beginning, I was looking at these things. We have the gospel of the birth of Jesus Christ in the gospel of Matthew and in the gospel of John. My Bible recognizes it that way. And we do have the birth of Christ in John. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And we find out here, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then we need to find out who that Word is. We find out about the Word. You know, we can read about the Word of God in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 8 and 9. When it talks about wisdom, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And then here in John's Gospel, chapter 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the birth of Christ in one verse. And that's in the Gospel of John. So that all of that is taking place in the temple, in the temple. Now, in the next few verses of Luke chapter 2, we're going to find some years pass by, 12 years. And it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. We're going to talk about that next week. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful. We serve a great God. We're so thankful. Your word tells us in many ways that Luke has described to us that he, the Savior, has come. The Messiah has come. Lord, there were personal witnesses in the temple that realized it. The Holy Spirit was with Elizabeth when she realized who Jesus was. And Simeon, the Holy Spirit told him who he was. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us ponder these things in our hearts, the things that we put together as evidence that we have the Messiah has been born. Father, we look to you for guidance and direction. Father, we ask that you would be with our pastor as he comes today. You'd hide him behind the cross of Calvary as he proclaims your word. Lord, as a minister, Lord, you've told us in Psalms that your ministers are flaming fire. So, Father, I pray that today you would give him your words, and, Lord, that his words as he preaches might touch our hearts and burn into our lives. And, Lord, give us the direction and guidance that we need today. Lord, we look to you for, I pray, Lord, that everybody here have their ears open and their hearts to hear your word, and their hearts, Lord, to receive that word. Father, we just give you the honor and glory and praise now in Jesus' name. Amen.